you know, in the beginning of every year, Pastor Dave always challenges us to set objectives for ourselves, right? So, you know, both spiritually and, you know, just to make your, improve yourself and growth in various different areas. So what I committed to do, you know, to myself is to read through the New Testament and then to also read through the Old Testament. But the way I do it is at night I read the New Testament, and in the morning when I'm getting ready, I actually listen to the Bible app and I listen to the Old Testament, you know. And sometimes, you know, things jump out at you, you know, and just hit you. And when I was listening to Proverbs, which is just, it's always good to re-listen to stuff you, like, forget, right? Ronnie was playing it this morning, matter of fact, and we were just listening. I'm like, wow, this stuff is so good. It's so like, you know, it feeds your soul. But there was the one part about, you know, the part in the scripture, the virtuous woman, where it speaks that she smiles at the future. And that just, like, jumped out at me. I'm like, don't we need to be smiling at the future right now? I mean, with everything that's going on, like, I feel like I want to smile at the future. I mean, I don't want to be running scared, you know, or circle the wagons and let's, you know, wait till the end of the age comes. I don't think that's the way God wants us to live. So I don't know if we could show this video. This is another thing that I think we should watch this guy's video every so often, because if you think you've gone through hard times or something like that, think about what you're about to hear right now and who's delivering this little video clip. So if you could put that up there, that'd be great if we could get that to work. I know we've been having technical issues today, but yeah, it's always good to hear from Nick.
Wouldn't it be nice if God could tell us exactly what his plan for us is every day? It would be great if in our backyard we had a burning bush that we could visit to hear from God. Or maybe God could write our future in the clouds and we could just look up and see what to do next. I wouldn't even mind if an angel would deliver us some specific message from time to time. Wouldn't that be great? I think we all struggle trying to decipher God's plan and purposes for us. Should we look for another job? Should we move? Should we have children? Should I date this person? It would be very helpful if God wrote all the answers in a book and handed that to us so we could just follow his plan step by step. But maybe you have noticed that God doesn't work that way. We need to trust that God is good and he will lead us in the right direction. When we can't see what tomorrow holds, we can still be sure of this, that God will work it all out. I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. The Bible may not give us specific individual aspects about God's plan for us, but Scripture does tell us, however, how plainly God's will is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I can't tell you if God wants you to move to New Jersey or to New Mexico. I don't know if God's plan for you is to have one child, 10, or no children at all. I can't even say whether it's God's will that you buy a house or continue to rent. But what I do know is this. It's God's will that we are thankful for everything. We are thankful for that stressful job. We are thankful for the family we have. We are thankful for even the mistakes we've made, because even those blunders have something to teach us. We can be grateful for every detail in our life, from the painful to the helpful, because all of the moments of our life have first passed through the hands of God. I have come to thank God for my disability. It didn't happen right away, but at a certain point in my life, God reminded me how much he could do through me because I was made this way. I have preached in stadiums and churches around the globe and have shared Jesus Christ with millions. For that, I am thankful. So I thank God I was born without arms and legs. This is God's will for me. I do pray that he gives me arms and legs, and I'm not waiting for them though either. I do have a pair of shoes in my closet in case he says yes, but I know that my soul is restored. My spirit is filled with his peace, purpose, and joy. And I know that sometimes I may make mistakes with my free will, but as I hunger for God's perfect plan for me, we know that he is faithful. In a world where we often focus on the negative, God's will is that we focus on the positive. Seek wisdom in all your decisions, but no matter what happens. This week, I challenge you to be thankful. No matter what happens, we are accomplishing God's will for our lives. His grace is sufficient, and he is always with us.
Probably don't have to say anything else now after that, but I mean, it's good to hear somebody who was born with no arms and legs preach the gospel. I mean, I heard him in person, I remember years ago, at a youth event over in the Meadowlands, and I mean, it's just amazing to think about, like, how many people, he's telling us to be thankful, right? And he's got this disability, which you would think would set him back, and, you know, he wouldn't be able to do any of the things that he could do. But if you ever, like, want to be encouraged, just listen to him speak. And he's a motivational speaker, travels all over the world. He preaches the gospel all over the world. That's pretty awesome stuff. And he's smiling at the future. Here's that scripture verse that jumped out at me. I have it in different versions, but I just wanted to, you know, and then I'm going to go through a little bit of the scripture after this too. But strength and dignity are her clothing. It's speaking about this virtuous woman, and she smiles at the future. And then the next one says, she can laugh at the days to come. So she's happy. she's got nothing to worry about, right? As well, and she's strong and graceful, as well as cheerful about the future. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. So you might think it's strange that I'm sharing something, this, at least starting with this. This is probably typical, used for a women's meeting or something like that. But, you know, it says we're the bride of Christ, right? So we should be able to learn from, you know, if this is what a virtuous woman should be like, well, a man should be doing the same thing, right? So here's some more of the scripture from Proverbs 31. It says, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. And by the way, ladies, that wouldn't be such a bad thing, right? If you can plant the vineyard somewhere, I'm all in. I had to make that point when I was reading this. I said, I gotta like, you know, say something there. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. I just want to say, I'm glad that, you know, in this house that I'm surrounded by women who are like this. All of you here are of this character. But what can we learn from this too? And how do we break it down and apply it to our own lives, whether you're a man or a woman? So what I got out of that Proverbs is a couple of key things is that people have full confidence in you, you know, if you're living this way. You bring good and not harm. You always building others up. You're building things up. You're eager to work. You're industrious. You're not waiting for things to happen. You try to make good of what you can, and you do what you can, and you prosper. You provide for your family. You know, your family is number one, and that's the main reason why do we go to work, right? We're providing for our family. You invest in things and build, right? You help the poor and needy. You know, and I think that's really an awesome thing. And I, you know, looking forward to our Thanksgiving outreach and when we did the outreach for the harvest time. You know, we're trying to help those that giving people something that they wouldn't have been able to get on their own. I mean, that's what we should be doing. Prepare for difficult times. So, you know, you're not oblivious to the times. You know, Pastor Dave shared a couple of messages, like, you know, knowing the times and, you know, living that way and understanding the times. That's something that we need to be doing too. We can't be like, you know, totally oblivious to what's going on around us, but we also aren't going to get crushed by it, right? And then you have an excellent spirit in everything that you do. I mean, all those things that I just read, it was excellent. It was building. It was benefiting. It was making things better, right, all around you. And that's a great way to live. And then you make others look good, like her husband's respected because of his wife. I am that way, so I thank my wife for her goodness and her hospitality, and people really enjoy that, and I get blessed by it. I also want to, so building on that, I was thinking about, you know what God's, you know, the promises of God. We're kind of on this thing, not believing lies, right, and believing truths. There's so many truths in the gospel that we need to reinfuse it into our spirit, re-inject it. We need an injection of more of God's truths in us. So, you know, we know in Jeremiah 29:11, it's a famous verse, that God's plans for us are for good, right? So we know that he only wants good stuff for us. But this other part of it ties into some of the scripture I just read about. This was, so yeah, Dave mentioned before about Gideon and that the time he was in a worse time. I think that probably the worst time of the children of Israel that they ever were in was in this time when they were carried into Babylon. I mean, so when nations captured nations or conquered nations, they would like take the people out of their place and bring them into their own nations and let them be their servants or whatever they did. They just transplanted them. Can you imagine being transplanted? So this scripture, it amazes me every time I read it, but this is Jeremiah speaking to those exiled who are in Babylon. So you can't think of a worse situation. You're taken out of your own country. And they say, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. It's interesting he said I carried too. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. And it goes on, basically saying to live life. So if he's saying this to them, it's be industrious, build, you know, grow, continue to do things. Don't like shrink in fear or be afraid to live life. You know, there's a lot of other scriptures I'm going to share with you that's going to like, you know, encourage you and build you up. I was listening to some podcasts and it just reminded me, hope, what is hope? Hope is the belief and expectation that the future will be bright, you know? Hope isn't like, I think everything's going down the drain really quick and I'm going to go down with it. You know, that's not hope. That's the opposite of hope. Hope is, you know, no matter what happens around me, I'm going to prosper, right? I am going to prosper. And if you can prosper in Babylon as an exile, you can prosper in the United States of America in a state of New Jersey. You can prosper. And we are. Any area of your life that you do not have glistening hope for, you're believing a lie. That's what Francis Frangipane said in one of his books. A preacher, we've studied some of his teachings. But this is a great thing to grab hold of. If you don't have hope for any aspect in your life, then you're believing a lie, because God's plans for you are for good. Now, we need to understand who we are, and we need to understand what our worth is. So in Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. This is pretty appropriate for today. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? You know you're more valuable than a bird, right, to God, in God's eyes. I mean, he sent Jesus. Jesus willfully died for you. That's how valuable you are to him. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Good question, right? Nope, you can't. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. In other words, God loves you like tremendously, and you're so valuable to him, he's not going to let you, you know, not prosper. He's going to take care of you. Reading on in these scripture verses, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, you know, why do we have doubts? Why do we have fears? Am I going to make it? Yes, you're going to make it. Am I going to be able to provide for myself? Yes, you're going to be able to provide for yourself. As a matter of fact, you're not only going to provide, you're going to thrive when you put your faith in God. Oh, ye of little faith. It's always good when when Jesus puts those things out there. I love that. It's like, yeah, you're right. I am of little faith. I need more faith. I need, you know, ask and it shall be given. Lord, give me more faith to believe these things. So for the pagans, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, we forget that if we put God first, everything else falls in place. Like, what's your top priority in life? What's the top thing you should always be worrying about? What's God's will? You know, we just heard Nick say, I can't tell you about this. I can't tell you about this. But I can tell you that if you're thankful, right, and you keep your eyes on Jesus, you know, like we heard today in worship, you know, fix your eyes on Jesus, right? You can't go wrong. And everything else will be good. Everything else, you'll benefit. Things will line up, right, if we put God first. We start making mistakes when we start not doing things God's way. And we start, oh, this is not going to work out for me, so I better try to fix it myself, and I'll do something, even though I know it's contrary to God's will. Maybe I need to cheat. Maybe I need to lie. Maybe I need to, you know, get involved with a non-believer, you know, or you know, whatever. You know, you can think about what it is to you. But if you seek God first, his kingdom, his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. It's a promise of God. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So don't make up stuff. Basically, that's what it's saying. Don't add on to things with worry. Oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this doesn't happen? Or what if that doesn't? Don't go that there. Just look. Be concerned about what's in front of you and what's here now, and expect God to move, and he will, one way or another. In 1 Thessalonians, you know, again, who are you? Who are you? Now, brothers and sisters, about these times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Nobody knows when a thief's going to come. You never expect a thief to come. So you're not going to know when the day of the Lord's going to come. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them. So when they think everything's okay, that's when you need to be concerned. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But a thief. You are children of the light. Good, nice prop there, Micah. Good job. Children of the light. And children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to darkness. Remember, who are you? You're children of the light. You know, we're not to be those who live in despair. We're not to be those who drag people down. We're to be those who bring light into every situation, every purpose, every encounter we have. We bring light. We bring hope. Then it goes on later in that same section of 1 Thessalonians. It says, but since we belong to the day, I like that, let us be sober, putting on faith and love, as a breastplate. Think about that. So the breastplate, you know, back in those days, you know, the Roman soldiers, you kind of think of the breastplate is faith and love. That should be like our front when people encounter us, right? This is my protection. My protection is faith and love. That's a good thought, isn't it? And the hope of salvation as a helmet. My helmet on, a hope of salvation. I have the hope. I know I'm going to be saved. And that's the helmet that protects my mind, right? The battleground of the mind, right? The hope of salvation. For God did not anoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, his thoughts are for us for good. He sent Jesus Christ to bless us. We have the hope of glory inside of us. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Our spirit goes to be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. So, why are we here this morning? We're here this morning to encourage one another, to build one another up, just as we're doing. We're doing this right now. So I'm encouraging you. I'm building you up. You're encouraging me, and you're building me up. And that's why we're here today. And that's what our mantra should be. That's what we should be living for. Children of light. Children of the day. That's who I am. That's who you are. So let's continue on smiling at the future. All right, so our mindset, right, is super huge and important. So you know the 12 spies that had to spy out the land in when they were taken out of Egypt, and Moses took them out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, and he sent out 12 spies, one for each tribe. There were the 12 tribes of Israel, one representative. They all went out, and they looked at the land, which God wanted them to possess, and then they came back, and they gave their report. And 10 of them said, there's giants in the land. And, you know, there's no way we could defeat them. And then Joshua and Caleb came back, and they said, they'll be bread for us. In other words, this is going to be a cakewalk. We could take them, right? There's the 10. Whose analysis was right? And I just heard this recently. I was listening to a Steve Backlund podcast, and I go, I got to share this because it's so good. The answer is they both were right, right, Susan, that they were both right. Because in their mind, if you don't think you can do it, guess what? You can't do it. If you think you can do it, guess what? You can do it. I mean, your mindset. And if you're, you know, they knew God, Caleb and Joshua knew God was on their side. That's why they had that confidence that they will be bread for us. You know, this is going to be a cakewalk. We can do this. You know, it's here. Let's go for it, right? And the other 10 were, oh, there's big guys over there. I don't know if we can, you know, take them. We should just, like, hang out here in the wilderness. And what happened? All those people died off. And then next generation got to go in along with Joshua and Caleb, right? So, you know, this is a good word for us, too, is to think about, you know, how you think about things and your confidence moving forward is super critical. If you don't think you can do it, you can't. So let's think we can do it and things are going to work out for us. We got to remember who God is too. And this is like an awesome psalm, very quick to like infuse your thankfulness. You want to say, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget how good God is, right? What does he do? What does God do? He forgives all your sins, not just some, all, anything you ever did wrong. Clean slate. He heals your diseases. He's the healer. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Another thing he puts on, you know, what's your crown? It's love and compassion, right? That's the way we should be living. When people see us, you know, the crown around me, you know, is love and compassion for every. And, you know, I want to, like, just pause a little bit on this compassion thing. Like, there are so many confused people out there in the world. And we're like, oh, you know, that they get what they deserve, you know? I mean, we need to have more compassion for them. And, you know, I always think about, like, that scripture verse when the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, what should I do? And he said, sell all that you can and, you know, and follow me. But he was rich and he walked away. But it said, and Jesus loved him when he said it, you know? So, you know, we have to lead with love. Always lead with love and compassion, you know, no matter what. And also remember that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So, you know, when a person comes after us, or if they're trying to drag people down the wrong way and bring more confusion into people's lives and make this what we think turn the world into a sewer, right? You know, it's really not them. It's the Spirit that's leading them. You know, it's not that individual person. It's the Spirit behind them. We forget that so much. I forget that all the time. They're principalities and powers that we're wrestling against, you know. The people behind that bill that Dave always shows up, you know. It's not them. There's a Spirit behind that, right? That Spirit needs to be dragged down. Not, you know, those people. Those people are given into that. You got to lead with love and compassion. Oh, it covered part of that. But anyway, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. There must be something about those cedars of Lebanon because the Bible speaks about that. But you see these palm trees, right? It speaks about the righteous will flourish. Do you want to flourish? Did anybody ever go and live through a hurricane? I lived through a hurricane. I was in Puerto Rico, right? You did too, Lisa, right? In Florida, yeah. And I saw these palm trees. I mean, these palm trees are designed for hurricanes. I mean, they bend like this. They're the way that they're built. And then their roots, there must be something with the root system, like other types of trees would get like whacked out, you know, but the ones on the islands, that's why these palm trees were designed for that. They bend like that. That's the way we're to be too, right? When storms of life come, we bend, but we don't get uprooted, right? Our roots are deep. They're connected. We flourish. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Don't forget that either, right? I like that little visual there too, right? The root system is, it's all Jesus, right? My roots, you know, the solid rock, that's who I'm holding on to. My root system goes deep, and it's my root system, though, it goes deep because it's connected to Jesus. So when the winds blow, I'm like that palm tree. I'm going to bend, but I'm not going to break, right? Because I'm connected to that root system. And I know who I am. I'm a child of light. I live in the day, and I'm an overcomer. Because you have overcome them, you know? We have greater authority inside of us. We have greater strength inside of us than what's in the world. Never forget that. So I have to share this, which I just took from Victorious Mindsets. I was looking at reading it in the book Victorious Mindsets, one of my favorite books. It says, Daddy God tells us, improve every environment you are a part of, every meeting you attend, every house you live in, every ministry you are a part of, and every relationship you have, improve it. Leave an inheritance of better things to those who come after you. That's a pretty good way to live, I would say, right? Make everything better, like that. That noble woman, right, of Proverbs 31, she built, she made things better. She made her husband look better. She make people look better around you, right? It's a good thought, right? Make your boss look great because of how good you are, right? Make your spouse look great, right? Make your kids look great. Make your neighbors look great, you know, whatever. We're not called to be thermometers. This is a great thing too, who reflect the temperature, but thermostats who set it. So we have the ability to change the temperature and how we show up, right? Thermostatic people think, act, and talk higher than the environments they are in. So it might not look real promising out there. If we look at the political environment, might not look real promising as we look at, like, you know, say inflation or whatever. But guess what? You're righteous and you will thrive and flourish like a palm tree. You're gonna make it. You're not even just gonna make it. You're gonna thrive, make it. You're gonna flourish, make it. You're going to, you know, kill life, so to speak, and just, it's going to be great no matter what happens around us. We have to be aware of the times we're in, but we also have to be aware of who we are. We're children of light. We're children of day. So that's what I wanted. I hope this will make you smile at the future. Like that little baby in the very beginning. He's got his mama and his papa taking care of him, and everything, life is good, you know? And that's the way we should be too. So if you'll stand with me, we'll say a couple of declarations. If you want to read these with me. Ready? I am moving forward in life. I bless and improve every environment I am a part of. I have great influence over every situation in my life. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I know how to bring God's light into dark places. I smile at the future. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. So yeah. Let's smile.